Monday, August 19th. All of England is now a defense area. A lone German plane bombed the southeast coastal town early today. Some damage was reported. Other than that, there was general quietness in the air, according to press association reports. From Berlin came word that planes are heading towards Great Britain to observe the damage caused in yesterday's mass air raids against England. And of this raid, England says she administered to Germany the greatest aerial defeat of the war. In Africa, the Italians claim to have broken British defenses around Berbera, the capital of Somaliland. From Cairo, the British report that RAF planes bombed the Italian airdrome at Addis Ababa and Ethiopia. Now for the report of Edward R. Murrow in the British capital. Go ahead, London.
This is London. Britain today claimed the greatest proportionate defeat of the German Air Force yet scored in the war. An Air Ministry communique was issued early this morning. It contained only 11 words. It said, "It is now known that 140 enemy aircraft were destroyed yesterday. The Royal Air Force lost only 16 of its fighter planes, but the pilots of 8 are safe," says the Air Ministry. It is reported that planes are over a southeast coastal town this morning. Today's RAF communique from Cairo says that their bombers raided Addis Ababa and bombed the military aerodrome at that city in Abyssinia. Direct hits were registered on 4 hangars, and a gasoline fire was started as a result of the bombing. More than 600 German bombers and fighters crossed the coast of England yesterday in 3 mass attacks. According to several London newspapers, all the German planes were on their way to attack London. But according to official sources, the German raiders were seeking military objectives on London's outskirts. In the last raid of the day, 70 German bombers turned back when greeted by a shrapnel barrage over the Thames estuary. During last night and early today, the German Air Force confined itself to sending over airplanes one at a time. A few bombs were dropped in the darkness on the southeast coast. The Ministry of Home Security issued a new order this morning. The 12 regional commissioners of Britain, appointed some time ago, are now given complete authority to issue any orders or directions required for the defense of their respective areas. This means, in effect, that these 12 men are dictators, and if communication should be broken by a German landing, they will be able to act on their own authority. This new order is a precautionary measure and places no immediate fresh restrictions on public freedom. The London press this morning is unanimous in its welcome for the creation of the American-Canadian Joint Defense Board. There is not a great deal of speculation concerning the implications of this move, but the general impression given to British readers is that it is the first step towards a complete military alliance between Canada and the United States. The opinion is current in London that the United States will secure, probably by lease, military bases in British possessions to help guard the approaches to North America. Official quarters still refuse to link these conversations concerning military bases with a possible deal involving the transfer of those 50 American destroyers to Britain. London is watching with keen interest the progress of the American Army transport ship American Legion, homeward bound from Petsamo. The German warning and request that the American Legion should change course is promptly displayed in today's papers, as is the State Department's reply that the ship will proceed on her original course. Reports from Washington failed to make clear the exact grounds on which the American government decided to send this vessel through admittedly dangerous waters. Wireless communication with submarines at sea is difficult. This fact was demonstrated when a British submarine torpedoed a French heavy cruiser several days after the order had been issued that no further French ships were to be attacked. The British submarine had failed to receive the order. The British censors are again under fire. The Daily Telegraph reports exasperation in America over the Germans' 9-hour lead in air raid news to the United States. American press messages, paying tribute to the high morale and calm conduct of the Londoners, were held up for many hours. The Daily Express says, "How long is this gagging to go on? Last week we fought and won a great battle, but all the Americans heard of it was a daily gobbled version." On Thursday and Friday, and again in the Sunday papers, our good friends had to take Germany's word that London was in ruin. The editors ruefully printed these stories in big type because there was little else to fill their column, says the Express. Most American correspondents in London share the sentiments voiced by the Daily Telegraph and the Daily Express. Exasperation is a pale and inadequate word to describe a reporter's feelings when he has a good story which does not reveal military secrets and is unable to get it out. I return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Columbia's report from London by Edward R. Murrow. Here's a dispatch from Basel, Switzerland. British airplanes early today bombed an aluminum works across the border in Germany from Rheinfelden, Switzerland. Now the news from the German capital by Edwin Hartridge. Go ahead.
This is Berlin. Last night, German planes attacked oil depots in the London area, ammunition factories at Norwich and Essex, and the harbors of Milford Haven, Avonmouth, Bournemouth, and Weymouth, according to the high command communique just released. Airfields in South England and those near Liverpool were also bombed, it is claimed here. The Germans stated yesterday and last night a total of 147 British planes were shot down, of which 23 were destroyed on the ground or by anti-aircraft fire. Also, the British Defense Forces are reported to have lost 23 barrage balloons, while for the day and night operations, the Germans say they lost only 36 planes. The German government has sent the British government a note to the Swiss Diplomatic Service regarding parachute troops and their operations. This is in answer to a British note sent the same way on May 13th. At that time, the British government told Berlin that if parachute troops were dressed in a recognized uniform, they would be treated in accordance with international rules covering enemy soldiers. But if German parachutists were disguised, they would be treated accordingly, as spies are disposed of. The Foreign Office here this morning, in disclosing this diplomatic exchange, gave the details of Berlin's answer. The German government pointed out that parachute troops wear a recognizable uniform that was displayed at parades as far back as 1936. They are legal combatants according to all international laws, it was stated. And then the German government warned the British that if parachute troops suffered any illegal treatment, that reprisals would be taken on British aviators now in German prison camps. If adhering to its course, the United States Army transport, the American Legion, entered the danger zone at 5 a.m. this morning while en route from Petsamo, Finland to New York. This danger zone was so identified by the German government in a warning sent to the American Embassy last week. This area lies to the northwest of Scotland. The transport American Legion is scheduled to pass through a channel between Cape Wrath at the northwest corner of Scotland and a small island formation of Rona. The ship will clear this danger zone by tonight, we understand here, provided that it encounters no difficulties. As you will remember, on Saturday, the Germans announced that they could assume no responsibility for anything that might happen to the American Legion. The official news agency stated here that the American Embassy had asked for a guarantee of safe conduct for the vessel, but this was not granted. The German press this morning is mainly interested in the foreign policy statements made by Wendell Willkie in his acceptance speech at Elwood, Indiana, on Saturday night. All published stories this morning report that Mr. Willkie severely criticized President Roosevelt's foreign policies as bringing the United States to the brink of war without consideration of the wishes of American citizens. But there is little in the press this morning about another American development, that of the announcement of the formation of a joint defense council for the Canadian and United States governments. This was disclosed by President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Mackenzie King the other day. However, some hint of Berlin's reaction can be found in what the German radio had to say this morning. Quote, "This decision of the United States President and the Canadian Prime Minister constitutes the incorporation of Canada into the political system of the United States. And Canada, like the Philippine Islands, is placed under the military guardianship of the United States government." And there's one other American item in the news this morning. The propaganda ministry has placed a ban on all Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer films in the Greater Reich, effective August 15th. MGM's Roaring Lion is accused by one paper of being a first cousin to the British Lion. The paper states, quote, that he tried to equal his British relative in propagandistic agitation against Germany, end of quote.
This is Edwin Hartridge,
returning now to Columbia in New York.
This is New York. Columbia now switches you back across the ocean to the Italian capital for the latest news reported by Cecil Brown from Rome. Go ahead, Rome.
This is Rome. Italian troops have broken through the second line of British defenses in British Somaliland. The High Command has just announced that the British forces are in full retreat toward their transport ships at Barbara. These ships are being heavily attacked by Italian bombers. One British plane has been shot down by Italian fighters. The town of Gafaruk, about 40 miles from Berbera, has been captured. The fascists appear to be moving on Hamas, about 25 miles from the capital of the British colony. It's expected that a secondary column of the Italian forces will converge with the main column at Hamas
for the final push on Berbera.
At the same time, a third column is advancing from there along the Gulf of Aden toward Berbera for a pincer movement. Fascist circles consider the British retreat as the collapse of all British resistance in Somaliland. The British took the initiative in the air in the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan. They raided their former post at Kassala, now the advanced Italian position in the Sudan. The Italian High Command says there was neither damage nor victims. Kassala is 18 miles from the Ethiopian frontier. The British also attacked Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, causing the death of two persons and injuring five. The communique reports the bombs hit some sheds containing old equipment. The Italians raided Sidi Barani, the British base in Egypt near the Libyan frontier. The communique reports an attack also was made on Sorghum, hitting encampments and motorized units. Sorghum is an important British concentration also near the Libyan border. All the Italian planes were reported safe after their attacks on Sidi Barani and Sorghum. Three cities in northern Italy were raided by the British again last night. At Milan, the High Command reports three bombs struck a dwelling and others fell in open country. Bombs were dropped on Cuneo and Turin, both near the French frontier. Only minor damage was caused, said the High Command, and there were no victims. The British also dropped leaflets telling the Italians they were forced into the war to fight on behalf of Hitler and against Italian interests. It's indicated here that Italian submarines may participate in what is called the total blockade of Britain. Yesterday, it was announced that a fascist submarine had torpedoed a 9,000-ton British tanker in the Atlantic. This was the first word that the Italians had forced Gibraltar, even under the sea. There's no way of telling, of course, how many fascist submarines are on the other side of Gibraltar. One newspaper points out this morning that the British control of Gibraltar cannot impede Italian submarines from freely negotiating the strait. Mussolini's own newspaper, the Popolo d'Italia, considers the Nazi blockade of England as the first measure in a new program to crush Britain. Here's how the Duce's paper expresses it. The revolution must save Europe and civilization at any cost. If, to save it, the paper adds, England must be destroyed, it will be destroyed. The Popolo di Roma says that in all the world's newspapers, not a single voice was spoken in favor of England and against Germany for the blockade. This shows, claims the paper, that Britain is politically and morally isolated. The fascist press claims a great victory in repulsing the British naval and air attack on Port Bardi in Libya yesterday. Bardi is near the Libyan-Egyptian frontier. We're told here this morning that in the British Armada, there were four cruisers, eight destroyers, and an aircraft carrier. British fighter planes shot off the carrier's decks and were engaged by Italian planes. At the same time, the ships offshore poured 300 shells into Bardia and the surrounding area. Seven British fighter planes were shot down, the High Command said, and three Italian planes failed to return. It's reported today, however, two other British fighters were destroyed, bringing the total to nine. Some of the British ships were said to have been hit by bombs. This is Cecil Brown in Rome. I return you now to CBS in New York.
Here in New York is a dispatch from Shanghai. There are indications that the negotiations between American and Japanese military leaders in Shanghai are hopelessly deadlocked. The two are at odds over control of the British defense sectors of the international settlement. And this morning, Rear Admiral Thomas Hart, who commands the United States Asiatic Fleet, announces that the dispute now is the subject of negotiations between Washington and Tokyo. And with this news, Columbia concludes this morning report of European developments. Edward R. Murrow reported from London, Edwin Hartridge reported from Berlin, and Cecil Brown from Rome. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.